What is going on, YouTube? Welcome back to another episode of FPL Family. It's Game Week 6, Season 2021. And the reason I want to timestamp this game week, Sam, is because, oh my God, has it been a difficult one? Just when you thought the roller coaster of this season couldn't go up or down in more extreme peaks and troughs than it already has, and we hit another unbelievable game week. Another unbelievable game week.
The worst one yet.
The worst one yet ever or this season? The fact you've got to think about that tells you how bad it is.
I genuinely don't think I can ever think of another game week that's been this bad for me. On a personal FPL
so
level.
So far,
there...
There's still time for you. Your captain is still to play. You're in a good position.
Oh, Lee.
You're in a reasonable position compared to some of us.
Okay. But let's never ever say anything is good. I'm never in a good position this week.
Game Week 6 can never be described as good.
No. And I mean, fascinating though, isn't it? Because, you know, of all the things, I looked at my team when I built my wildcard last week and I set it for this week.
I'm looking at it thinking, this is the right team.
I've got a really nice team. I have so many there I can captain this week. It's looking really nice. What on earth? My head exploded on Friday night. Genuinely, my head exploded.
Well, listen, guys, whether you've had a good, bad, or quite frankly, downright ugly game week like I have, We're here for you. Get in the live chat. I
want to
laugh together. I want to cry together. This has been an absolutely ridiculous game week. We will, of course, be talking about our scores later on.
Oh,
that is going to be a very quick section of the show, guys, I have to tell you. We're, of course, going to look back at all of the game week action. Another win for Liverpool. We had to grind one out. But actually, some of the scores this game week suggest, as some of you guys are saying in the live chat already, maybe a slight return to normality. I say that slightly tongue-in-cheek because it's all relative, right? And it's relative compared to the chaos that we've had so far this season. But we have actually seen some reasonable defending this game week.
There's been some clean sheets.
For goodness sake. Yeah.
A 0-0.
No one scored seven goals. I mean, come on. This is a normal game week.
It is true. But yeah, I think it has been a little bit more normal, actually. There's been a little bit more defending.
Yes.
There's been
only
some
marginally.
There's
been tons of defending.
But there's also, it's felt like a very weird week this week, because this season has been kind of going off in a very strange direction with Everton and Aston Villa and teams that you wouldn't necessarily have thought, oh, they're going to have a blinding
start. Yeah, one look at the league table's a bit like, huh?
Yeah. Well, we've sort of seen that kind of not end, because I don't think that they're suddenly going to become bad teams overnight, but you know, we've seen a change again, and we've all kind of been going, oh, this might be a good option, that might be an option.
You mean the Everton a halt and the Villa bandwagon's kind of come to a bit of a halt? Are we seeing a bit of a change now?
Maybe. I mean, Shea Adams is trolling me royally. Like, all the ones that I thought were going to have a good start to the season didn't. The ones that I didn't think were going to did. But now, this week, it seems to have flipped reversed. And it's a really strange week. And I think, for me, generally, as a kind of rule about this, one bad FPL game week isn't enough to kind of make you want to rip up your team and start again.
I'm looking at my team for game week 7 thinking,
it still looks okay.
I've got two and three transfers. I'm like, I'm not really sure what to do with those transfers right now.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I think this whole season so far has been very difficult to read. It's been hard to gauge. We've kind of not really known when the Aston Villa bubble was going to burst, if the Aston Villa bubble was going to burst. We've not really known if the Everton bubble would burst.
Those bubbles might not have burst. There's one bad result.
Does this mean that they've burst? Well, no, I don't think so. I think there were some caveats in the performances that maybe meant that these results happened this week. But I don't think it necessarily means that you have to ditch all of those assets and you know, go on somebody else. But really fascinating, because I think it might signal some people wanting to make big changes in their team.
All right, okay, well, listen, amidst all of the change and the chaos, one thing remains constant, Sam, is that if Raul Jimenez scores for Wolves in the second half, absolutely incredibly consistent.
Just the one, though, as always, from Raul.
Just the one, yeah,
don't
go crazy.
Up for two.
Never gonna get a brace, Jimenez.
No, never.
Just gonna get one
every single week. I love him for that.
He's unbelievably consistent.
I wish I owned him.
You'd never captain him, would you?
I have in the past.
Well, I have in the past, but I
wouldn't anymore.
Very unreliable captain, but...
Although this week, I wish I owned him a head captain, didn't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, listen, he's the difference maker this week. Absolutely unreal. He's got more than the rest of my team probably put together. Let's say hello to a few of you. Let's see. AD Tor is in. How are we doing? Very nice to see you. Iron Man is in. Iron Man. Last week, Sam had an excellent week, and he had a bad week, whereas this time... It's the complete opposite.
Yeah, so it's Iron hard Man, to read,
well done.
It?
It's very, very difficult. We sat here last Sunday, both on the back of pretty successful wild cards up in the 80s. Everyone was jolly. And like you say, I looked at my team, set my bus team, as I always do once that game week flicks over, in case you get hit by a bus. And that's what the purpose of the bus team is for.
The chances of you getting hit by a bus at the moment are quite slim, given we don't leave the house, really.
Tis true. Yes, tis true. But since the boys are always cheating coined that phrase, I like to use it in the everyday sort of FPL lexicon. I really like it. So I set my bus team, set it all up, looked at it on paper and thought, yeah, that's good. That's a 60, 70 pointer team right
thing
there.
The thing is, I'll let you into a little secret that I let Josh into this week. I set my bus team last Sunday night, just before we came on here, and I did not look at my team again.
You were that confident. You were just like, yeah.
Looked at them. I was like, yeah. I'm not making a transfer.
To be honest, I didn't look at it much because I was quite happy to roll.
I was like, unless someone gets injured in the Champions League or the Europa League, I'm not touching that team. And that is how it's going to be. Well, I mean, and this is what they've done. This is how they've repaid me. My confidence in them...
Yeah, but you wouldn't, even if you'd have spent all week looking at your team, you wouldn't have got Bamford in.
No, of course, I wouldn't have done anything different.
You wouldn't have got Mane for Salah.
But I never trusted him again. I've trusted him for a week.
I don't even know. Anybody here looking for some FPL insight for this week maybe has come to the wrong place. Let's see. James O'Malley, thank you for the super chat. He's saying, I'm getting rid of Trent. I already have James from Chelsea, so no Chilwell. Who should I get in? Let's answer that then right off the bat, and we're going to say hello to a few more of you guys in a minute. And then have a look at the games. But as a Trent owner, what are you doing about Trent?
Nothing.
Nothing. Keeping, right? Should have had an assist at the weekend.
Could have had a goal as well.
Marginal offside from Salah for the goal and did look a bit better.
Cheeky little lob.
More than cheeky. I mean, it's phenomenal vision to even think about trying to catch out Ramsdale from there. So could have had the goal.
Should have had a clean sheet because that was never a penalty.
We'll come to that in a minute. Another VAR travesty, frankly, against Liverpool. Not that I'm biased. But yeah, on another day, Trent could have had double figures, right?
It is hard because I can absolutely see the desire to take him out. I absolutely can. And on Saturday, I didn't watch the game, but watched Match of the Day. And at the end of the game, I was like, yeah, I think I'll take Trent out. And then watched the Match of the Day and thought... Maybe keep him.
Well, listen, Fox in the box is here. He's got 20 points. That's not
bad. I'm going to give you a clap.
That's not
bad. More than I've got.
You're going to take that, I think, this week. Nuclear Atoms is in. He says, screw this game week. Yes, I'm 100% with you, Nuclear Atoms. Let's see. Charlie Warner is here. I went Mane to Salah. Don't be scared of ownership, guys. Listen, Charlie, worked out for you, mate, but the Salah owners, I think, can feel... He went the other way. Had Salah, went to Mane, which obviously has worked out. He's got points, yes, understood. So fair play, good move. But on another day, Salah could have had a haul, couldn't he? I think he was top for XG underachievers. So
who
hit the post, and you know, on another day, could have been very different for Salah captains and Salah owners. Tips is here, FPL Tips. How are we doing, Harry? 20 for him again. Not bad.
it's one of those 20 is a decent game week.
It's absolutely crazy. Liam Healy is saying, evening, Lee and Sam, 24 years old today. Liam, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you, mate. Hope you've had a lovely day. Hope the FPL points have been flowing in for you, mate, and flooding in. But something tells me they haven't, because they haven't for anybody, frankly.
Unless you had Jimenez and Bamford as your top, as your front two.
Yeah, not bit many. Of, got those though.
Bit
not
of
many.
Harry Maguire and Chilwell at the back.
Yeah, well, Scott Schrager is in. He's saying 22 points so far. Hashtag Coys.
Hashtag Coys.
We need Spurs to save our game weeks here. This is frightening, isn't it?
Why is it frightening?
To be honest with you, even if Son and Kane go big tomorrow, it's not really saving my game week. FPL managers have got one or both of those now anyway. To be honest, I need Morpie and Lamptey. Those are the two that are going to save my game week.
Well, to be honest, I'm quite happy having none of them play because my bench is looking fabulous.
Yeah, true. My bench is not too bad either.
Apart from Kane, need you to come play.
Kyle Britz is in. How are we doing, Kyle? Nice to see you. Chris, he says 37 with three to go.
Oh,
Chris,
hello.
I'm telling you right now, that is a damn good score for this game week, 37. Mr. Wazap19 says 42 points.
Ooh.
Damn good score. Damn good score. The FPL Fan Show are in. How are we doing, Fan Show? Sold Ings for Kane. Can I borrow Sam's Spurs goggles? Everybody's like, need Kane to save this game.
The double up of the mugs.
Oh, the doubles
in
on
fact,
Bale
I found the goggles.
And the mug. Oh, goodness me. Goodness me. Well, while you're faffing about with that, I'm going to say hello to a few more people. Kazi Hyder is in. He is saying, hey, Sam, say something about Adams. We're going to come to Charlie Adams a bit later on.
There we go, look.
Holy moly. They go really well over the top of your actual glasses
actual
as well.
Glasses
yeah,
as well.
That's a real statement right there.
There
it's
we
a
go.
Real statement. Real Will Gregor is in. Hey, Will, he said, Wilfried Zaha is a legend. Yes, he's one we haven't mentioned, Zaha.
No,
and
he's
the fixtures
not. He's a troll.
For Palace look very good. He's very tempting right now. Very tempting. Fox in the box, how are we doing? Good evening. Stealth Panda Kens, how are we doing? Very nice to see you. Casey Skinner.
Hello.
Hey, Casey, nice to see you. Dan Dan is here, 14 points. Oh, on my wild card, Dan says, sold Bamford and Mane and Jimenez on his wild card. That's a tough one, isn't it?
I don't really know what to say about that.
Not much to say about that, Dan.
That is gutting.
Unlucky. Unlucky, mate. FPL Flynn, very nice to see you. Mark Anso, there's a whole host of you guys in, so thank you for joining us. And thank you guys for sharing how, for the most part, bad your game weeks have gone.
Sharing our pain.
That is what we're here to do here on FPL Family. We're here to, if you need to use it as therapy, if you need to use it to have a good laugh at our scores later on, do
that's
so, guys. If it makes you feel better, that is what we're here for.
We're here for the therapy.
We're here to celebrate the good week. So when the wild card comes off, like last week, damn right we're going to shout about it. And when it's bad this week, damn right we're going to finish the stream earlier and not do anything. Absolutely ridiculous.
No, we're not.
No, we're not. We're here. We're here for you. It's been a terrible week and everybody can have a good old moan in the chat. Because that makes us feel better. It's good for your mental health, guys. Get it out there. Get it out. Right, there's our Twitter on the left-hand side, at FPL Family over there, coming up to the, actually just gone over the 35k mark. Ooh. On Twitter, guys. So thank you if you're following us on Twitter. And of course, if you're not following us over on Instagram, at FPL Family, if you want to go now, check out Sam's Instagram over this weekend. Now, not got as many Insta reactions over the weekend because, of course, now it's $14.95 to watch a game and we ain't doing much of that, to be honest with you.
Although you should have done one, really, because you did actually watch the Liverpool game.
Did actually go out to
so
watch the Liverpool game,
you should have, really, when you walked home in the driving rain last night, you should have actually done an Insta reaction while you were walking
home
in the rain.
It's possible. Although, to be honest, I was only half watching the game because I was with a load of my mates. One of my mates is going over to live in America. You're going to work and live over there. He's been there before, he's come back and he's going back over. So he spent quite a bit of time talking to my mates. Wasn't just watching the Liverpool game. Especially when we went 1-0 down. I was just sort of...
Came in looking like an absolute drown rat.
I was soaked. I thought, do I pay £15 for an Uber or do I walk? And I thought, you know what it's like when you've had a few beers? You've had like, I don't know. I wasn't drunk, but I sort of had like three or four beers. And I don't drink much anymore because of lockdown. So my tolerance for beer is bad, guys. It's gone down a lot. But after three or four pints, you're like, yeah, I can walk home. That's fine. No problem. Absolutely soaked. Absolutely soaked. Should have got an Uber, guys. Absolutely terrible. There's our Twitter on the left. Don't look at me like that. Don't look at me like I'm a complete moron. Not all the time, anyway. Every now and again, it's fine, but not all the time.
I just remembered the look on your face when you popped your head around the door. I'm like, hello. And I was like, what?
Hi.
Why are you so wet?
Please, can I have a towel?
Look like you've been swimming.
Let's have a look at some of these games. And of course, Sam, we should mention that we are live streaming during Arsenal and Leicester. So Arsenal-Leicester is still going on at the Emirates. So guys, if there is a goal or an assist or whatever, if there is FPL action, or actually any action in that game, then let us know. Right now it's Arsenal 0, Leicester 0. And again, all goes to say what I said at the beginning of the live stream, which is actually a few clean sheets. Football, look at these scores, Sam. They actually look normal. There's something about this game week which I actually enjoyed from a football perspective, which was we actually got some half-decent football. We didn't get seven. Of course we had nonsense VAR. Of course we did. We had the Liverpool game and we had Maguire, you know, neck wrestling Azpilicueta to the floor at Old Trafford, which was clearly a penalty. So of course we had some VAR nonsense, but that isn't. We're now getting used to that every single week. But we actually had some normal games of football. I thought I actually enjoyed the football this weekend. didn't enjoy FPL quite so much, but I actually enjoyed watching the football that I watched.
The thing is, yes, I do agree with what you're saying. There are more normal scorelines, but equally...
you're like this comment from Owen Lawrence. Thank you, Owen, for the comment. He's saying, the Arsenal game is boring, they are the Mediterranean Burnley. Quite like that. Sorry for any Arsenal fans in the chat, but I quite like
but
that.
But equally... You look at the Arsenal, you look at how Arsenal have been playing in terms of, you know, Aubameyang's not been firing, they've just not had the strike power. You look at the Leicester setup with no Vardy, and you think, well, I can't see
a lot.
People
looking for Justin in Castagna clean sheets, though.
Yeah, I took him out of my wild card, so yeah, it would undoubtedly happen. you know, there doesn't look like there's a lot of goals in that game, let's be honest. And then what was the other game? Well, the one that did surprise me was that Man United-Chelsea game. Didn't see that ending 0-0.
Well, let's start with that then. Let's cover that with a reasonable amount of speed, because I don't think I saw much in that game that made me think, oh, I must have them as an FPL asset. And in particular, the Chelsea boys, who last week, obviously, yeah, you want Werner, you know, yeah, Havertz gets his goal, Pulisic coming back from injury. Yeah, Chelsea looked all right, but I actually thought Frank Lampard was almost taking a bit more of a cautious approach in the same way that he did in Europe in the week. He obviously got the clean sheet there. He's got the clean sheet again here. Maybe Frank Lampard's attitude, actually, despite having spent £250 million on attacking talent, maybe he's like, I'm fed up with conceding quite so many goals. So maybe we just...
Oh, we all.
You know, he went back five, he went three in the middle. I thought Thiago Silva was outstanding, by the way.
Three games, three clean sheets, when Mendy, Chilwell and Silva have started.
Yeah. That says it all, doesn't it? It says it all. I think the keeper, yes. Because the keeper, he played well yesterday.
Apart from really kicking it in his own net.
Oh, my days. You see that? Almost just passed it right in his net. Oh my God. But it just went out for a corner, didn't it? But apart from that, had a reasonable game. Let's gloss over that glaring error. Chilwell was making a difference. But actually, Thiago Silva, I thought, was phenomenal. He's phenomenal. He was just that calm head, knew how to, you know, didn't panic when Cavani came on. I mean, clearly knows Cavani's game, doesn't he? But having played together for so long. But he was just telling people where to go. And just that leadership that Chelsea have been lacking at the back, I think he made all the difference. So from those two sides, who's on your radar now from an FPL perspective? Anyone? Or are you sort of gagging to get these guys in or not?
What, the defence?
Well, no, any. I mean, Manchester United or Chelsea. I mean, Chelsea, I guess we're looking more at the attackers. But you're right, Chilwell, again, a clean sheet for him. So
I think Chilwell does look like a nice option. And I think if you're going to go... I know the guy earlier was saying he's got Reece James, and I think if you're going Chelsea defence, for me it's Chilwell, because the attacking returns potential is there, and if they're going to start keeping clean sheets, and they should, the fixtures look okay, so I think he's the one to have. I mean, I am Bruno Fernandes, and I'm in such a quandary,
What's going on with Bruno? What are you saying?
Well, what am I saying? I think his home form is terrible. His home form is awful, his away form is better. So it then leaves you in that moment of like, well, I won't ever captain him. I'll never put the armband on him.
You wouldn't?
No.
Okay. Why?
Well, you seen anything in the last six game weeks that makes you think that Bruno is captainable?
Yeah, previous game week when he missed a penalty, okay, fair enough, but he could have had 15, 16 points in that game. He had a bit of a quiet game this week, but last week, if you'd captained him and got the 11 points, you'd be happy. Could have been 16, 17. Maybe more.
I think last week, yes, but he was playing against a Newcastle side that defensively were having a trouble. This week he came up against Chelsea side, proved more of a challenge. The next couple of game weeks are difficult for Manchester United. So I'm not convinced that Bruno's worth 10.5 million at the moment, is my honest answer. I think away from home he does look better. He's a totally different beast away from home, which is strange, right? But I don't know. I really don't know how I feel about him, and yet I'm still in the Chelsea quandary. I still don't know which Chelsea player I want. I feel like I've got six game weeks down the line, and apart from the fact that I would quite like Chilwell, I'm no clearer in terms of the attacking players as to which one I want.
Well, they've got Burnley away, Sheffield United at home, Newcastle away, then it's Spurs, and then Leeds. So the fixtures for Chelsea do actually look pretty good.
Look nice, yeah.
So if you were gonna. I think you're right. I'm not sure we know enough about Chelsea to say it's definitely him or it's definitely him. But now's the time to make your choice, I would say, with those fixtures coming out.
I do feel a bit like it's a lottery ticket, though.
Yeah.
If you're going to go with a Chelsea attack, you go Werner, you go Pulisic, you go Mount, you go whoever you want. But you buy one of them and you ride it through the next 4 weeks. You can't chop and change, because the reality is that over that 4 week period, it's probably going to be a variety of different Chelsea attackers that return in each of the different weeks. So I think for me, if you're going to go with your Chelsea attack, you just buy one and you stick. Like, you've got Pulisic, just hold.
Go with, yeah.
And you stay there.
He looked pretty direct at the weekend. Yeah. He's, without really threatening too much, he sort of, I guess he's still finding his feet. He's getting back to full match fitness. But he was driving into the box. He was doing the sorts of things that, as an FPL owner, you'd want him to do.
Yeah, and it was just a bit of a non-event game, really, that one, strangely.
It was a drab game, wasn't it?
It was, and I think, you know, none of them particularly set the world on fire, but no, they didn't for Manchester United either. But for me, the one that has stood out in the last couple of game weeks is Chilwell. He's the one, I think, with the fixtures, that you're probably going to want to own in some way or another.
Okay, let's see what you guys are saying. AD Tor saying, Mendy, go with Mendy if Chelsea are going to keep clean sheets. Yes, you could, absolutely. Absolutely. I think there's probably slightly better value and slightly better attacking upside in some of the Chelsea. Yeah, he's going to be a bit more expensive, isn't he? Probably worth it. Let's see, Jacob 17, decent fixtures for United though. Well, Arsenal and Everton next don't strike me as really amazing fixtures. West Brom at home then does, and then Southampton and West Ham away, both I think pretty tricky fixtures. So I'm not sure I totally agree with you there. I think the Man United fixtures actually look reasonably difficult at Manchester United. Let's see, what else are you guys saying? Let's see, should I keep Mitro for West Brom? We're going to talk about him in a bit. Raj is saying Rashford better than Bruno. Yeah, Rashford did have a decent game. He's going to cost you about $1 million cheaper than Bruno. Were it not for the goal, he maybe could have scored and could have had a, you know. But again, as soon as Martial comes back, does he then go out on the left again? And is he quite so potent out there? I don't know. Anyway, nothing in that game that jumped out and made me say,
I didn't feel inspired.
I really want to get such and such a player. The only thing that really did jump out at me is how he's not playing Donny van der Beek. He's paid so much money for that lad, and he's just sitting in the stands doing absolutely nothing. A team that I am absolutely looking at, and it's a shame that Antonio went off with that what appears to be a slight hamstring injury, which is starting to get a bit frustrating for his owners now, because he's playing games, he's getting FPL points, but he is coming off early every now and again with little niggly injuries like little hamstrings and little calf issues. So after having scored what can only be described as, I think, goal of the season so far against Man City, or certainly one of, brilliant goal, overhead kick from Antonio, as soon as that went in, I'm like, right, okay, I want to get on this guy, and I've got game week 8 in my sights. That's when they play Fulham. Potential for Antonio captain, etc., etc. It's Liverpool next for them. I'm kind of, you know, could he cause Liverpool issues? Yes, absolutely, with his power and his strength. But if he's going to be injured, I'm not sure where else in West Ham I'm going to look. We go another game week without Suchek scoring.
That's bad, so, isn't it?
Again, it didn't look quite as potent as perhaps he has done in previous game weeks, although he was getting into some reasonable areas. Again, it's Man City, you can forgive the blank. Cresswell again, you know, looks good. He's on my radar, but up against Liverpool next, I'm probably not going to get him. So West Ham, are they still on your radar before we get to Man City?
Yeah, but I also think, just to add to the West Ham mix, Koufal looked really good. That's the second game, taken two assists in back-to-back, or assists in back-to-back game weeks. That was really hard for me to say for some reason. I don't know why. But yes, an assist against Spurs, an assist against Man City, looked really good going forward. And when those fixtures do shift in game week 8...
Goal for Vardy, by the way. Jamie Vardy. You guys are saying the Vardy party is back.
Nobody owns him anymore, though.
Looks
he's been
like
out.
It is. Yeah, it didn't start right. It's come off the bench. 1-0 to Leicester against Arsenal. Okay, guys, thank you for that. Keep us updated.
That is at least one premium player who has returned some points this week.
Someone's doing something. Yeah, someone's doing something.
Oh, no, Mane. Two premium players have returned this week.
Go on then, back to Koufal in West Ham.
I think he looks really good. You know, getting into the nice attacking positions, the link-up play down that side with Suchek. He was quite often in front of Suchek, which was interesting to me watching that game. Nice link-up play with Antonio as well, I thought. So he's one that's definitely on my radar. Really nice, cheap. I think he's 4.5.
My worry for West Ham is that if Antonio has done a hamstring and he's out for a few weeks,
it's a problem.
What then comes in? Because what came off the bench was Yarmolenko, who had a stinker, and Allaire, who just stood there.
Lee was hilarious during this game. I've got to let you into a little secret about us watching this game. Oh. So we were sat watching this game and Haller came on. And Lee was like, oh, hello, game changer. Haller has come on. And Lee
That's tongue in cheek, I said that.
Yeah, I know. And then Lee spent how long did he play for? About 30 minutes or
yeah,
so?
Yeah, I just thought I'm going to just watch him specifically, see if he does anything.
Is he watched Haller? Didn't watch anybody else, just him. give us your opinion on.
He literally brought him on to win the ball and hold it up and chase down the Man City defenders.
Did he do it, though?
He did nothing. The guy's unbelievable. Stealing a living, this kid. He's absolute rubbish.
He was on such a rant. Days. Honestly, this game was hilarious because Lee just ranted about LA for like 30 minutes. He was like, what is he even doing?
But do you know what? Do you know the most savage thing is that he could play against Liverpool next week and do quite well. Because if they just... What Sheffield United done, and we'll come to our game in a bit, is they just bombarded our box with crosses. Well, Allaire could do all right there because he just stands in the box waiting for it to come to him. Frighteningly, that could work for West Ham next week. But anyway, the thing that puts me off West Ham is Antonio is starting to take on slightly talismanic status at West Ham.
Yes.
And without him, I think they're far worse off.
I agree.
Yeah, they've got an absolutely quality striker there, and without him, I don't think they're as good. Man City, for their part, though, listen, I don't know why we haven't talked about Phil Foden enough on these live streams. We talk about KDB every bloody week, and of course he's back now, so you've got to consider maybe getting him back in your team. Aguero back, hasn't maybe hit the ground running quite so much as we maybe would have liked in FPL. But Foden at 6'5", he ticks it over, doesn't he? He got an average points score of something like just over 5 points a game right now. Cheap as chips.
But it goes back to the Pep roulette, doesn't it, again? We're back in that position again. And I know that there's only so many times that you can speak about the Pep roulette without feeling like, do you know what, I've just got to get involved. But with Kevin and with Aguero when he's fit and Jesus isn't fit, and with Sterling, you can be fairly comfortable that they're going to play each time around. I was absolutely certain that Foden was going to start this weekend. Because he didn't play in the Champions League, and I was like, yeah, that seemed guaranteed to start. He was the one person that, of all the things I thought about this week, he was the one person that I thought, oh, do you know, I could make a transfer this week to have Foden. And actually, in the end, it would have been quite a nice decision because he came off the bench and obviously got the goal. However, it would annoy me a lot every week, particularly as now Manchester City is starting to get their players back from injury, there's going to be more rotation around those positions.
Well, the guys in the live chat quite rightly correcting me when I said, you know, Aguero's coming back, you want to consider...
Well, he got injured again, though, didn't he?
Injured again.
Yeah, yeah.
Done a hamstring again, it feels
rushed
like...
Rushed him back.
Well, was it a hamstring? Because I think Pep did say it was something new, actually. So we need to look at how long he's going to be out for. But I'm afraid to say that he's starting to look like he's made a glass, Aguero, and he's getting injured too quickly. Jesus is still quite a few number of weeks away, so we're back to this Sterling through the middle, probably. And we know that in previous game weeks that wasn't really working for them, necessarily. So I'm afraid to say Man City, despite, you know, Sheffield United up next, then it's Liverpool and Spurs, which is difficult, before Burnley home, Fulham home. So from, you know, game week, what's that? 7, 8, 9, 10. So from game week 10, yes, sure, Burnley, Fulham at home, but for the next three... I just can't invest.
No, and my plan was, as soon as Kevin's back, is to get Kevin back. But I'm looking at that team thinking, I honestly don't feel like yet that it's necessary to have Man City. I didn't watch them in that game against West Ham and think, yeah, I must absolutely destroy my team to own Kevin or Sterling or Aguero, because that's effectively what you've got to do because of their price points. The only one that's viable really without messing up your entire team is to go Foden.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I think that's a bad decision. I don't. Absolutely, I don't. But I do think you have to be able to make peace with the fact that you're going to spend 6.5 or whatever he now is on a player that may not start games, may come off the bench. But for me, he's a bit too expensive to be that benchable player.
Well, when I watch a Man City game and I'm most impressed with Cancelo and Kyle Walker, I know that's not a team I want to invest in necessarily. And I can't, at the minute, I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it, especially ahead of those fixtures. Liverpool, Spurs on the horizon, I'm not feeling it.
And Sheffield United did play a lot better against you lot.
They did, They did, and let's talk about that then. So Liverpool 2, Sheffield United 1 at Anfield gave us a real fright there with the penalty in the first half, which
is... even in the box.
I just can't even...
It's not even in the box.
I just can't. So let's not even talk about it.
At least Alisson's back.
So Alisson's back, which is big. Fabinho, I think, had a pretty good game again at centre-half, despite giving away the penalty. But the problem with Fabinho being there is he's not where he should be, which is shielding the back four. So without that proper natural six there, shielding the back four, because you've got Wijnaldum and Henderson, who just wanted to naturally join in with Jota up front. So it was when I saw the formation, I was like, right, here we go. It's goal fest here, because he's going all-out attack. And fair play to Sheffield United. They sort of met fire with fire, didn't they? They kind of said, all right, well, Liverpool are going to attack. We're going to attack too and push them back and put them under pressure. Yeah. And they did do that, Sheffield United. They played exactly the way that teams should now play against Liverpool, which is aggressive, high press to counter our press, risk that you're going to get counter-pressed. So can't just take that risk. But then also get balls in the box, bombard the box. And to be fair, I don't think they necessarily had the players that could have finished, you know, the crosses that were going in the box. But they even then, you had Fabinho and Gomez with kind of like, you know, unconvincing headers away. And it was falling to the likes of Berger and other players like this in and around the area. Yeah. So it looked really dangerous every time they were coming forward. And my fear for the West Ham game is that they play a similar sort of style. It's a similar sort of style.
Yeah, but yet, you always feel a little bit more comfortable that Alisson is not Adrian. He's not going to have a calamity. So the guys in defence didn't have, but then equally, you know, apart from the penalty, there was not really an opportunity that I ever thought Sheffield United were definitely going to score from.
Oh,
it.
No, you're so wrong. They looked really, really good. They were coming forward. They created a lot of chances.
I'm not saying that they didn't, but they didn't. There was never an opportunity, you know, apart from the penalty, they didn't score any other goals. Now, that penalty, the reality is, that penalty wasn't a penalty. It was outside the box. So, in theory, you conceded none, you know, if you take that off the... And this is what frustrates me about the Liverpool defence, right, is that it's so difficult right now because, in part, if you just look at the scoreline, Trent out, Robbo, you know, disappointing, is the obvious conclusion that you should come to. But actually, when you then delve deeper into it with the shot that Trent had, the most ridiculous lob, and would have been a fantastic goal had that gone in, the potential assist for the Salah goal that got VAR'd offside, it could have been so. And if that had penalty had been rightly said, no, it's outside the box, then you're talking about a massive haul for Trent if all those things happen. I don't know. It's really difficult with Liverpool, I think, right now. I mean, as a Salah owner, of course, I was disappointed not to see him return in a game where he really, really should have. Do I want to jump ship and go to Mane? No, I don't think I do.
Yeah, I mean, West Ham next, then Man City, then Leicester, Brighton, Wolves. I mean, it's a mixed bag for Liverpool fixture-wise, to say the least. I thought Trent and Robertson, yeah, they could have had the clean sheet, of course, but I think Sheffield United had plenty of opportunities. I think if they'd have drawn that game, I don't think we could have complained too much. I think they probably created enough chances to get 2-2. But as it was, Liverpool got the points. And the way that Liverpool set up in terms of, you know, those four up front with Jota, who's starting to look really good, by the way. And I can't help but feel that he's one of those kind of why not players at the moment, Jota. It feels like FPL and football is so random that why not go for somebody like Jota? No one's looking at him, yet he's like 6.5, I think, maybe even a little bit cheaper in that Liverpool midfield. He's played well enough, I think, both in Europe and domestically, for Klopp to keep giving him game time. Now, I don't think we're going to go out against maybe West Ham, but we're obviously, I don't think, going to go out against Man City and then probably not against Leicester with that sort of gung-ho approach with the four up front. I can't see it. I think he's going to drop back with that three, particularly when Thiago comes back and we can fill that midfield. But Jota is one that you could just have a look at. I mean, why not? It's kind of in that Foden bracket. You're not feeling it?
No, I'm not feeling it. Because I mean, the reality is that you're going to own Salah and you're going to own Mane, or Mane rather. You probably got a Liverpool defender chucked in the mix. With due respect, I don't think Liverpool are playing well enough that you want to treble up on them.
Okay. All right, well, there we go. 2-1, Firmino with the goal, Jota with the second goal. Two assists for Mane, so there's the answer to this week's question of Salah versus Mane. It's Mane, but
could have been very different.
Sheffield United did play well. It's the best I've seen them play so far this year. And if they keep that up, they need to keep that up if they're going to have any chance of staying up. They played pretty well. Another player that played pretty well, Patrick Bamford, a hat-trick on Friday night against Aston Villa, which was classic FPL this season, because we spent all this week talking about how Aston Villa defensively were really good. We're talking about Martinez, we're talking about Mings. And again, this is a game that could have been very different, because had Grealish's goal gone in and it didn't get cleared off the line by Ayling, could have been different. But you can't say anything bad against Bamford. The goals were fantastic. The second goal in particular took it so well. And with the third goal, he's surrounded by four players and he still finds a way to whip it past Martinez. So a fantastic performance from a Calvin Phillips-less Leeds United. They look good, right?
This is the game where I knew this week was going to go badly. As soon as this game happened, because I was playing Martinez and I was playing Watkins and I benched Dallas on the basis they didn't have Kevin Phillips and all that. The rest is history. And this game just blew my mind, I'll be honest. I just did not see this coming. Leeds. It's been a long weekend. Leeds, just, they haven't played that well defensively so far. They were solid defensively. They were really solid. All right, they had that opportunity for Grealish off the line, but they were solid other than that. And Aston Villa, who have started the season with such gusto, and all right, the opening game weeks, you know, they played teams that were having difficult starts to the season, but then they played Liverpool and played incredibly well. And since then, you know, I had saw no reason to think that Aston Villa wouldn't continue that, at least scoring streak, against Leeds this weekend.
Do you think we all got a bit too overhyped about Villa in that Liverpool game, which I think we can now put down as a bit of a freak game?
Maybe we did. But I think the reality is that most people aren't, like, overboard with Villa assets, are they? Most people are on Martinez, probably, if you're going for a defender, or maybe might have gone Konsa or Mings.
Well, Grealish is pretty well owned.
And then most people have got one of the attacking assets. They're not trebled on Villa. So most people have got Grealish or Barkley or McGinn or Watkins. And all of those are easily movable. So I don't think it's an issue if you feel like you're now a bit overboard on Villa. Who have they got next?
Southampton at home next. Then Arsenal away, Brighton at home. It's not terrible, right? And Jack Grealish, second only to Salah for XG underachievers again. So again, had that one off the line. Again, looked good. In the same as last game week, right? Could have had a haul last game week. Could have done better this. But the problem with Grealish is he's a bit coulda, woulda, shoulda at the minute. Mm-hmm. I am going to give him those games, though. I can't take him out ahead of Southampton, then Arsenal, then Brighton.
No.
And it's West Ham, it's Newcastle. The fixtures look all right. And we've said this about Villa before. The fixtures do look pretty good up until Christmas, actually. Hence the Martinez pick. Hence I'm going to stick with him in goal. Do I want to stick with Grealish over the whole course of that? Well, unless we start seeing a few points, maybe not. But we're certainly seeing the form, I think, from Grealish. He's passing the eye test for me. He's just not getting the FPL points.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with a Grealish pick. I still think that's a decent pick.
How are you feeling about Watkins, though? Because he's not really passing the eye test for me or getting the FPL points.
I don't know how I feel about Watkins, is the honest answer. About the same way I feel about Shay Adams, probably. It's difficult. It's really difficult because in that price bracket, there's a lot of players. There's Bamford, there's Watkins, there's Shay Adams.
Going back to him, aren't you?
I'm not going back there. If anything, I might downgrade so I can upgrade my defenders, because I'm starting to feel like the defence is... There's been a shift. We're not seeing... we'll see if it continues next week, but we're not seeing the kind of ridiculous scorelines that we have been in the opening five game weeks. So maybe there's a bit more call for some more investment in my back line. And if I want to hold Trent, which I do, then I'm going to need to find a little bit more money to upgrade some of my defenders, and therefore taking Watkins down to Brewster and just having Calvert-Lewin and Kane as my front two and playing four at the back rather than three at the back might actually be a worthwhile strategy.
All right, well, we'll look at your team a bit later on. For me, I think Villa were absolutely in the game, and that first Bamford goal, I think, as Anthony Gary saying in the live chat and a couple of the Villa fans that I speak to on Twitter, mentally affected them. It mentally affected them, that first goal, and they never really recovered. I don't know why, but they just didn't. And it's a bit of a... If you're a Villa fan, get in the comments, let us know. Is that a concern?
Well, they were a bit like that last season, weren't they, Villa?
A little bit.
And maybe because they had a positive start to the season, we haven't yet seen it. Maybe it's been disguised.
Okay, couple more games. Southampton 2, Everton 0 from earlier today. Another game which kind of went against the form book, right? Because we're all sitting here thinking, well, it's going to be an away win. We had the James Rodriguez in-out hokey-cokey over the course of the week, where Ancelotti was kind of, oh, he's definitely out. And then you see him pictured on Twitter with these massive trouser things on, which are kind of, I don't know, massaging his legs or something, getting him ready for the game. The one thing I'd say about Everton is that, by the way, I'm not panicking. I've got Dominic Calvert-Lewin. All right, didn't score today, but, you know, listen, not going to score every week, is it? You're not going to score every week. Why for not? 38 weeks. So I'm not at all panicking on Calvert-Lewin or Everton, full stop. But what I will say about that game today is they were the perfect opponent for Sheffield, for Southampton. Because Southampton, as we know, like to play that high line, you know, that cursed high line that we always talk about, when they're up against pace, like Son, doesn't work for them. They lacked pace today, Everton. They lacked pace. They lacked tempo. They lacked that spark. They're all grit and hard work today and industry. But there wasn't enough pace in that side. So I did, that would be the one concern for me, is that how much they missed Richarlison's pace. And I know you're not Richarlison's biggest fan. I have to say, I completely disagree. I think they're having a really good season, and he is the one of the key reasons why I think Everton lost today. I think there'd have been a different side completely with him. I honestly do. If you're an Everton fan, get in the chat, get in the comments, let us know what you think happened today. Are you missing Richarlison? Is that not just me? I think, what is it with you and Richarlison? You're the only one that seems to think he's garth. Everyone else thinks he's quite good. Again, not sure if I'm, you know, I don't know from an FPL perspective whether I would double up now going into the next few games. Let's have a look at Everton's games. I think the fixtures are there, by the way. It's Newcastle, Man United, then Fulham, Leeds, Burnley. So there's goals there for Everton. That's why I'm not panicking on their assets. This James Rodriguez injury, not was injury, is a bit of a concern. A limp again towards the end of the game.
They couldn't take him off.
That's a concern.
And they couldn't take him off because they were already used all their subs because Dina got sent off. So it's, my concern with Everton at the moment is more to do with the personnel. So I take your point about Richarlison. I don't rate him, but, you know, I think it did upset the balance of their team in terms of they didn't have the same set up. And I wonder actually if the James Rodriguez injury, are you going to be fit? Are you not going to be fit? Can you play at the weekend? It's all a bit unsettling.
It affects Richarlison
and everything else. And it was like they just didn't play with the way that we were expecting them to.
I felt sorry for them on that side as well, in particular Ben Godfrey, who came in, I think it's his full debut. The Everton fans can tell me whether I'm right or wrong. At fullback. Now, this guy, he's not fullback, right? Centre back. So it's kind of like, I have to do a job out on right back because Seamus Coleman, who's a big miss for them, you know, not just because he's a decent right back, but he's actually reasonably quick on that side, and he's their captain, so leadership, etc., etc. Ben Godfrey comes in and he gets absolutely no help from James Rodriguez on that side, and looks exposed a lot of the game.
And then, you know, obviously losing Dina is another problem because Coleman's out. Now they've lost Dina for, well, it was serious foul play, so it'll be three games,
I think,
right?
I think so.
So he'll be out for three games.
Bad tackle that from Dina, wasn't it?
Well, yeah.
I hear what the guys were saying. Immediately I was on Twitter, right? Oh, Dina, and the guys were like, no, it's an accident. I've looked at it again. It probably is, but I still don't make for good viewing that.
No, it...
It's still not a good
one. No, I'm not saying he did it maliciously by any stretch. Like, he's not clearly... I don't think Dina was the sort of player that goes in to injure somebody. However, that was a terrible tackle.
Yeah, it's not
And
good.
It was twice. It was twice. And I take it...
He had a proper nibble at him, didn't he? And then went
the
running after him.
The second time, he was trying to win the ball back because he'd lost it. But he's done it twice. And he deserved to be sent off. And he deserves a three-match ban. But now, Everton are at a point where they've got a three-match ban for Dina. Coleman's out. And they've still got, what, two games of the ban left for Richarlison.
So the left-hand side has been sent off in the last couple of weeks.
Absolutely.
So they've got no left. And then on the right, they've got a centre-half and a sort of semi-injured James Rodriguez.
And so we get to sort of 12, 15 minutes before the end of the game, and James Rodriguez clearly needs to come off.
Yeah.
He's limping around the pitch, so they're basically playing with nine men because he can't do anything. It worries me a bit. I'll be honest. As a Dominic Calvert-Lewin owner, I'm looking at that thinking, I might have broken him, but also thinking,
He's feeding off those balls from those areas so much, isn't he?
What's coming?
Yeah.
How is he going to be? And that's why he got booked today, because he was frustrated. He was frustrated because he wasn't getting the service that he's been getting for the last 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at that Everton team now thinking, no Dina, that's bad for Dominic Calvert-Lewin. No Richarlison. Now, as much as I've said I don't rate him, that's bad for Dominic Calvert-Lewin. And potentially no James if that injury has flared up again. Well, that's bad for him as well. And then there's no Coleman.
And you've
still got Pickford in goal, doing Pickford things. So, you know, you look across the rest of your team and you think, as good as you are, you can't do it on your own.
I wonder whether that might make them really easy to play against.
Yeah.
Because Dominic Calvert-Lewin, for everything that he is this season, but he's fantastic this season. Through the middle, he's pretty easy to defend because he's not super quick. Vestergaard did a good job on him today.
Yeah.
Vestergaard.
Yeah.
I mean, he's rubbish. And he did a job on Calvert-Lewin today because he just stuck by his man. And whenever he did get away from him, Bednarek was there. and neither of them were ever troubled by his pace. So my fear for Everton over the next few weeks, as good as the fixtures look, is that if you force them through the middle, because naturally without that those decent players in wide areas, that's what they might want to do, it will just all you've got to do is pat the midfield. And I think win the ball back quick and off you go.
We learnt today that Siggy has got no pace left in him at all whatsoever.
He's technically good, but he's very slow,
and
isn't he?
With Digne not being there, Sigurdsson's going to be on set pieces again properly. So, you know, there might be some joy coming out of set pieces because we know Siggy is good at those. But in terms of just general match play, I worry. If James Rodriguez is out as well, and we need to wait and see on that. But it didn't look great to me limping around the pitch in the way that he was.
Didn't look quite right, did he? Didn't look quite right. We'll talk about Southampton in just a second. A super chat from Anthony Gary. Thank you, Anthony.
Hi, Anthony.
For the super chat. He's saying, hey, chat, please like up the stream. Hit that like button. It helps Lee and Sam with the YouTube algorithm, but they're too nice to annoy us about it. That's it. I'm going to annoy you about it all the time now. Hit the like button, guys.
Well, yeah. Anthony.
Thank you, Anthony. I really appreciate that, mate. YouTube algorithms are a funny thing. If we were overly bothered about YouTube algorithms, we'd be putting 10-minute videos on every day. That's how you work the YouTube algorithm. But
it's not
as fun as this. This is more fun.
We don't really...
You couldn't put your Spurs goggles on your head like that in the YouTube algorithm. What's the YouTube algorithm said about that?
Probably saying Sam's a legend. She's got Spurs goggles.
What is the YouTube algorithm saying about that? Get them off your head.
No.
I can write them up here.
Bothered.
Anyway, what we said about...
They're going to save my game week.
I'm hoping. It's going to save everybody's game week, as well as Neil Morpie. What about Southampton then? 2-0 then against Everton today.
I want to talk about them.
Really nice performance.
I literally have nothing to say about Southampton. So, I've got the double defence on my bench.
I know.
I dropped Shea Adams 2 weeks ago.
Well, listen, he's found some form. I hate to tell you.
No.
And Danny Ings has continued his good form.
He hasn't found his form because he had the form. The form was there. It's been there. The XG, it's all been there.
So here's a question then. Why'd you sell him?
Because I thought, genuinely, I thought we were going to see what happened last season, which was basically that he started the season quite well, but never scored any points. And eventually, Hasselhoop just went, oh, you're useless, and benched him.
I'll tell you what happened. You sold him because you got seduced by the Watkins hat-trick against Liverpool. You're
no,
like, right, I've got to have Ollie Watkins.
No, it wasn't enough. It wasn't, honestly, it wasn't a case of I've got to have Ollie Watkins. It was more of a case of I'm so off with you, stinking up my team every week, and me sitting here thinking, this has got, you're going to come good at some stage. Now, the problem I have with Shea Adams now is, can you go back?
Yes.
No.
Absolutely. Of course you... I've never been there, so I'll happily go
you
there.
You go there then. But I think the other...
Depending on how Morpie plays, I might.
But the other thing I have... The other issue I have with Shea Adams is that every time I own him, I feel like... I constantly think, I wish you were Danny Ings.
Well, yeah. But Danny Ings is going to cost you a few more quid, isn't it?
But I feel like I've always got like... Oh, I can't afford that, so I'll just have that.
Do you get that feeling with Danny Ings? Every time he gets the ball, he's going to make something happen.
Yeah, but this is what...
I like him. He's just such a cracking player.
You know, like, when you go to the supermarket and you really want, like, the really expensive thing, you can't quite afford it, so you end up with, like...
something rubbish.
Yeah, so, like, you really want... you know, you really want a really nice...
You really want the champagne, but you get the Prosecco.
Can't really afford
that's what
it,
you can
so,
afford.
You know, you buy Carver instead. And that's how I feel about Danny Ings and Shea Adams.
Sorry, Shea Adams, you are now Carver.
But you know what I mean?
Oh,
and
wow.
I don't mean that rudely to him because clearly he's had a good game week the last 2 weeks. But I know if I go back there, I'll spend my whole life going, God, I wish you were Danny Ings.
Azzy with the super chat. Thank you, Azzy. How are we doing? He's saying Everton against Newcastle in game week 7. We have faced the most shots. So there we go. There's a reason to stay faithful to your Everton assets then, because Newcastle have faced tons and tons of shots. But I do think...
How are they going to get to the point where they're making shots, though?
I do think Everton will be easier to play with. They're going to be missing 3 or 4 of their top players, as well as James is sort of injured. It's going to be a big deal for
that
them.
That Newcastle shots thing is very much skewed by the amount of shots that Spurs had in that first half against them.
Could be. Yeah, it could be. Southampton, though, defensively, I know you don't want to talk about it, but actually, since that Spurs game, have... sharpened up. We sit here most weeks and talk about it.
No,
so
most weeks I'll happily talk about it because I've got the double up and I'm quite happy with them. But I just
didn't fancy it today.
Well, I didn't see it coming.
Okay.
Everton have been so good going forward, and maybe I should have seen it coming. Maybe actually in my head I should have gone, there's no Richarlison, there's no James Rodriguez, there's no Seamus Coleman. Maybe I should have seen it coming, but I didn't.
Let's see what you guys are saying about Southampton. Dan is in. Hey, Danny's saying Adams was man of the match for me. Yeah, not far off, mate, I don't think. James Stevenson think we are sleeping on Danny Ings. I don't think we are, mate. I think we're talking about him enough. We're just all, none of us are kind of getting him in because he's in that price bracket that makes him just a little bit more difficult. If you've got Kane and you've got DCL, it's like, well, you probably need a bit of a cheaper one there to go with those two and not Danny Ings. But I tell you what, if we get another Dominic Calvert-Lewin blank against Newcastle, which I think we might, given the amount of players they've got out, we could then start to see some movement towards Danny Ings and to Jimenez. It'd
be hard, though.
Let's see what else you guys are saying. Let's see. Ings is great, Brendan's saying. There we go. Done. Job done.
He is.
What else are we saying? Good lad is Che, Bossman is saying. Yeah, James Stevenson, I really rate Ings. Southampton are a good team and play very good football, David Coates says. Yeah, they are an excellent side. They are playing some really good stuff. And the fixtures are Villa next, then Newcastle at home, Wolves away, Manchester United at home, Brighton. So again, middling sort of fixtures, but Aston Villa, Newcastle next doesn't look too bad for the Saints. Let's have a quick chat about Wolves versus Newcastle, which, again, coming into this live stream, I was thinking, right, I've had a really bad game week, but Kilman is going to save my game week. It was 85 minutes gone. I'm thinking, Kilman, in line for two bonus points as well, because Jimenez stole the free with his goal, but happens every week. I'm thinking, right, Kilman's going to get me 8 points here. And in a game week where I've got absolutely chuff all, 8 points would have been huge, guys. It would have been absolutely huge. Not to be. Not to be. Again, not to be.
What's really annoying about that is that Saïss did keep his.
Saïss gets a clean sheet. Now, here's an interesting question then, which is something that the Twitter FPL community was talking about a lot today, is that what happens when Marcel is back? Now, Marcel was back today. He was on the bench. Came on in place of Saïss. So Saïss played left, wing back. Didn't, I think, had a very good game. He's obviously not a left winger and slowed it down massively on that side, and it didn't benefit Podence whatsoever on that side. Didn't think he had a good game, frankly. But comes off, he puts Marcel on and they look instantly a bit better and look a bit more balanced. Didn't bring Kilman off, because what he could have done was put Marcel on and drop Saïss back into that centre-half. So what is his preferred set up now at centre half? Is Saïss going to drop in there and Marcel wide, or is Kilman going to retain his spot?
You tell me. It's the same as Palace and Mitchell PBA nonsense that's going on there. The same thing happened. If you'd taken Kilman off, you'd have kept your bonus points in your clean sheet, same way that I would have if you'd have taken Mitchell off. It is so hard with these 4.0s because they I think both of them, Mitchell and Kilman, have done enough to warrant keeping their places in the side. Is my honest view.
My view, and I watched Kilman a bit closer today than I ordinarily would, obviously, because he's in my FPL team now and I'm more concerned. I thought he's fabulous.
And he was
I think he's a really nice centre-half, honestly. He's so composed on the ball. He's really, really nice.
But I've just nearly knocked my tea everywhere. But the issue is that is he going to drop Saïss for him? And is PVA going to stay on the bench for Palace with Mitchell? I can't see it. Now, obviously, it's hard, isn't it? Because I think we just have to wait it out. I think if you're a Kilman owner, if you're a Mitchell owner, you're kind of in the same bracket, really. You just have to hold it. Hold them and get an understanding of what those managers are going to do, because it's too hard at the moment to predict that, in my view.
It looks like the live chat is pretty split as well. We've got James Stevenson. Thank you, James. He's saying Saïss has played in midfield before, so Nuno could drop Dendonka. He was partly at fault for the goal. Saïss then maybe moves into midfield and Kilman keeps his spot. Stefo is saying Saïss is Nuno's one of Nuno's favourites. He absolutely is, no question about that.
Undeservedly, I think.
Yeah, Mortis Boll is saying, I think Kilman looks great. What about Kilman Mitchell? Yeah, we are just having that discussion. It's difficult to know where to go right now, but I honestly think Kilman looks really, really good. Squeaky plays, Kilman goes to the bench. No way that Kilman starts. I have to say, he could be the full guy, but it'd be harsh on him because up until that Newcastle goal today, that was almost three games back-to-back clean sheets. And actually, with that Newcastle goal, I don't think the wall covers itself in glory. I don't think Patricio covers himself in glory either. So could you necessarily say that was in any way Kilman's fault, that goal?
No.
And had they got their third consecutive clean sheet today,
and Cody
in a game that he's played all this, he's the consistent in those three. That's what's changed. I honestly think he's really good. Do I think that he could be the full guy? Of course he could. Of course he could. But a 4.0 in my FPL team, if he is, and I have to end up third subbing him, then so be it. So be it. But it would be harsh on the guy because he's been fantastic. And just watching him, I specifically watched him today a lot, he is really nice. He's really, really good. Much to say about Newcastle. Didn't offer much in the game,
I'll be
honest,
I was really uninspired by this game. Like, I just... Or maybe it's because...
Was there any game you were inspired by this weekend, or were we just waiting for Spurs?
No, the Southampton one. I thought Southampton were really good. This game in particular, though, I just felt it was a bit of a non-event in the first half. It was kind of a bit like two teams just kind of going through the motions a bit. And there wasn't anybody... I like to watch these games that where I don't own anybody. Because and I'm very conscious that I don't own a Wolves defender. And that's been a problem for the last couple of weeks. And actually, I was really pleased to see that she go today. I wished it had gone before Sias left the pitch, but there you are.
Yeah.
And with Newcastle, I keep looking at them thinking, but I just don't, there's nobody there that really kind of floats my boat. Jimenez is the one I would really like to own, just for the comfort, he's so comfortable, isn't it? It's like, you know, wearing a nice pair of comfy slippers, owning Jimenez.
Well, Jimenez was, looks like 6th for BPS this game week with 33. So I think that tells you more about the general performance of a lot of the FPL assets this week rather than Jimenez had a fantastic game. But yeah. Listen, Mr. Consistency Jimenez. Wolves versus Crystal Palace in game week 7. If you've got a spare tenner, stick it on 0-0 at half-time in that game.
It'll be 0-0 at half-time.
Oh my God, Wolves Palace next week will be 0-0 at half-time. I would bet my house on it. Arsenal-Leicester, I think is still going on. You guys can tell me whether it's finished or not yet. What are we on? 9:20? But I think it's done or there, nearabouts. But it was 1-0 to Leicester last we looked. But we're not going to comment on that game. I think that's it, Sam. Other than the last-minute clean sheet wipeout for Mitchell against Fulham for Crystal Palace.
So annoyed.
Don't want to talk about that. But I do want to talk about Zaha, a player that you obviously, famously on these streams, are not backing. Have never backed, really, in terms of his consistency. But Crystal Palace's fixtures coming up, that Wolves game, as I mentioned before. Then it's Leeds, Burnley, Newcastle, West Brom. So if you go to the Fantasy Football Scout ticker, they are top of that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Should we be looking at Zaha?
The problem is I know if I do a Traore, and this is my issue, is that Zaha does this. And if you think back, like...
Boss man straight away, trap.
If you look back, if you think back to the beginning of the season when the window was open, Zaha was playing well, and we were all like, oh, maybe we've overlooked Zaha. Then the window closes, and he's been rubbish. Now suddenly he's done good stuff again, and it's like, well, oh, should we look at Zaha again? But he's too expensive. For me, he's just too expensive and too inconsistent. And I know the fixtures are really nice, but I don't trust him to score every week.
All right, let's see. The guys are saying it was 1-0 to Leicester full time. The game is done. Arsenal have lost at home.
Oh, wonderful. That's a James clean sheet. That'll be my rank even worse.
Goodness me, you're on one tonight, aren't you? That's a 1-0 to Leicester. Arsenal losing. You'd think you'd be happy about that, Sam, but clearly not.
I'm happy about anything today.
Nehal Kukani, thank you for the super chat. What do you think of Saiss? Feel you'll miss out. Where have you been for the last 10 minutes? Just discussing the setup at the back there for Wolves. I personally don't think he'll miss out.
No,
he is one of Nuno's favourites. And I think he will either, as the guys are saying in the live chat, move into midfield. He could continue out wide, or he will drop into Kilman's position there, and he'll stick Marcel out there. There we go, Sam. Those are the games. It was a fairly normal, as weeks go for this week, a fairly normal-ish sort
of
week.
I missed the nonsense.
I didn't. I thoroughly...
Bring back the nonsense.
This is one of the... FPL was very difficult this week, but from a football perspective, I enjoyed watching some good football matches this week. I didn't like the 6-1 and the 7-3s and all that nonsense. I liked watching good football. And even Man United-Chelsea, where people were like, oh, this was dull, it was still tactically a reasonable battle. And there's a lot of like battles going on. I'd like watching good competitive games of football. What can I say?
It was dull.
All that I would have liked was just a few more fantasy points would have been nice.
Tomorrow
been
we've
nice.
Got what? Brighton and West Brom?
And obviously the Spurs game as well. So yeah, all to play for. Let's have a quick shout out to our three managers of the month right now. So this is an update on the October manager of the month. We've got David in there at 183 points, Matthew in at 180, and Salil up in 179. Now these scores were taken at the end of last game week, so these do not include, because we've got to wait until
the
game
is
finished.
For this one.
Yeah, just add like 15 points to each of these. No, David's doing very well, actually.
David
is doing far better than 10 points this game week. But once the game week is finished, obviously tomorrow night, then we add up all of the game week 6 scores and we add them to these. But at the end of game week 5, David was top of the shop with 183 points, Matt at 180, and Salil at 179. So still pretty tight at the top. Still all to play for. And if you do want to take part in this month, in this week's, or this month's Manager of the Month competition for October. It's not too late. It will close at the as soon as the game week starts, the next game week starts. Okay. So then we will be done. I'll be closing the Manager of the Month for October. But if you want to go and take part, head over to patreon.com/FPL family. All of the links are in the description below. If you want to just come along and just have a, you know, just hang out with us in the Slack and listen to us a bit more on a Friday when we do our Ohana podcasts, then you can join us at the $3 tier. If you want those things plus the opportunity to take part in the Manager of the Month competitions, then it's $5, and we have prizes and all sorts of stuff that we give away every month to all of our patrons that win that Manager of the Month. And then if you want to take it a step further and you want to talk to us one-to-one, maybe you're playing your wild card, maybe you're just not sure what to do that game week, maybe it's coming up to, you know, a double game week later in the season, and you might want to have a chat with either Sam or I one-to-one on Zoom at the $10 tier, then of course you can take part in those as well. So patreon.com/FPL family. If you want just a little bit more FPL family in your life, then that is the place to go and find it.
I did have a lovely chat with Sean Thorpe on Zoom.
Very nice to meet Sean, wasn't
on
it?
On Friday, which was lovely. He did a Sam and played a very, very late wild card and sent me a message on the Slack and said, any chance you got some free time on Friday? And I was like, for you, Sean, of course, I've got some
I'm
time.
I'm enjoying the Zoom chats. The Zoom chats are great, aren't they? Really good.
Yeah,
really,
it was really nice. And it was really nice to talk about, because a lot of the time the Zoom people that come to us are people that have kind of already set their minds on what they're doing with their team. With Sean, because it was such a last minute decision, he was like, could be this, could be this, could be anything.
Yeah.
It was really interesting to listen and to go through the thought process with him, so I really enjoyed that.
It's good to talk to like-minded FPL managers as well. Mm-hmm. A lot of, in particular, I remember speaking to Sam O'Sullivan a couple of weeks back when we were talking about wildcards during the international break. Listen, this guy knows his stuff, right? Knows his stuff.
Yeah, same as Sean,
it's a welcome break from some of the nonsense that I speak to at work. One of the guys this week, Sam, and he shall remain nameless because sometimes he does tune in, but you know, he'll know who it is as soon as I mention this. He was just like, Bamford. Nah, I don't fancy Bamford this week. I was like, well, who else have you got? Oh, Brewster. I was like, well, play Bamford. Yeah, Brewster's got Liverpool, right? And he may not start, so play Bamford. Yeah, all right, I'll play Bamford. How do you make substitutions? I was like, oh, tell me you know how to make substitutions.
This is somebody that you work with?
This is somebody that I work with. He's above me in the work league right now, and he will have extended his league because he had Bamford this week, on my say-so. Doesn't know how to make substitutions, Sam, in FPL, but we move on.
Does he want to become a Zoom patron?
No, he does not. No. I speak to him on Zoom at work enough. I don't want to speak to him about FPL as well.
You'll have to talk to me.
Yeah, he absolutely could do that. Here's my team. For what it's worth, Sam, here's my team for this week. 16 points, guys. 16. Absolute rubbish. Although, to be honest, when I look around, it doesn't feel like awful. It's not catastrophic. I look at it and I just think, oh, I must be like at 3 million. This is absolutely terrible. 16 points. Now, listen, of course, this is my team reveal, so of course I've got a sob story to tell. I've got loads
Go
of
on,
sob stories.
Go on, hit us, hear it.
Well, the Salah captaincy could have been very different, couldn't it? Very different. Grealish, one off the line and good underlying stats, could have been very different.
Should have been.
Robertson, maybe with the clean sheet. Kilman, with the dodgy free kick. So if I get all of those in,
I mean, you're up about 50 points now.
I'm up in the sort of 50s and 60s, and it's a great game week. But as it is, FPL has trolled me again this week. I'm in at 16 points.
You know what you should do?
Go on.
Get Zaha. You can't get.
Why not?
You can't get trolled any more than that. So get Zaha.
So get Zaha.
Why not?
And why? Because why the hell not?
Why not? What is FPL?
Top FPL knowledge here on FPL Family tonight, guys.
Wait, when you're
get
at this
Zaha
level of trolling,
because why not?
When you're at this level of trolling, Zaha's your answer.
Just do it. Zaha is the answer. When you've had so much trolling, and you just so much that you just love it, get a bit more in your life.
Exactly.
I'm in at Callum Wilson as well. God damn it. 16 points, guys, and it is, as you can tell, was certainly absolutely looping.
If your transfers this week are Callum
Zaha
Wilson and
Wilson.
Zaha,
I'm going to do it.
I will literally sit here.
I'm going to go for Troll FC.
And change your team name while you're at it.
Troll FC. Love it. Just get all the trolls.
Brilliant.
Anyway, listen.
So that's a red arrow, of course, but you still got Kane and Son.
Kane and Son.
Morpie
and Lamptey, yeah. So it's, you know, there's something to salvage from the wreckage, potentially. Listen, you know, when I think back to the game week, you know, Martinez's four saves are to be celebrated.
Oh, they are.
Pulisic's clean sheet point.
Celebrate.
To be celebrated.
Thanks, Pulisic.
You know, I haven't it on myself, frankly, because I've got Dallas on the bench, I've got Kyle Walker-Peters on the bench, so the bench is looking actually pretty good, but yeah, it's pretty rubbish. Jared C in the chat saying, get Tim Ream Lee. Yeah, there's another one.
Hey.
Tim Ream, Callum Wilson, Christensen.
Who else could you get?
Just get on.
In fact, can we do that? No. Don't bring them in. But can we make a team of all the troll people that troll you, and let's see how they do next week?
I'll tell you what it's come to. Well, I did the official FPL pod last week. Thank you to you guys that listened to that. I was on with Duncan Alexander at Oily Sailor on Twitter. He's one of the stats guys, right? Was making the case for captaining Martinez this week. And I was like, no, you never captain a goal. You never do it. Don't do it.
Did he do it?
He did it. And not only did he do it, but he persuaded Rambo to do it. So Rambo also
what?
Captained Martinez.
Well, they did better than you with their captain pick.
I don't know. You're absolutely right. I don't even know what I'm waffling to there. Yeah, they've beaten me. Yeah, thanks for that.
Sorry.
I was just about to dig them two out massively, and you've just pointed out a massive flaw in my plan, which is both of them did better than Salah. Yeah, you're absolutely
sorry.
Right. Absolutely. So you are on one tonight. So savage. 16 points. I was looking for some sympathy.
You won't
I've
get
not
it
got
from
it.
Me because you'll see mine in a minute.
You've kicked me when I'm down. It's 16 points,
I'll raise
guys.
Your team with my bench.
It's absolute rubbish. But as you can see from the screen, the team doesn't look too bad. I'm looking at it, it doesn't look too bad. But listen, your team is in even worse shape. 15 points. But there are still some fairly significant action to take place, not least your captaincy.
I mean, I wish I played all my bench.
Yeah, the bench is looking pretty good.
The bench looks phenomenal. I mean, the thing is, I still wouldn't do any differently. I still thought Aston Villa would score against Leeds. I didn't see an Everton clean sheet against Southampton. So we are where we are, but Lamptey, Bissouma, I mean, I'm not quite sure what I'm expecting Bissouma to do tomorrow, but you know.
Who knows? This is FPL, anything can happen. Yeah. 94th minute pole driver from outside the box again, probably.
If that happens, you'll be all hearing about it on Instagram, that's for sure. And then Kane, captain and Sonny. So it's not all over yet.
Yeah, anything can happen, right?
I'm basically putting all my eggs in the Kane... I'm basically putting all my eggs in the Spurs basket. I wear these.
It's not a bad... given what's happened this weekend, it's not a bad basket to have all your eggs in, I would suggest, coming into Monday.
No.
It was a straight choice for me. Kane and Salah. I was like, well, I'm going to go for money.
And I said to the guys that listened to our Ohana on my Ohana podcast on Friday, you'll have heard me say, I was expecting to sit on the live stream today with a red arrow.
Yeah.
Feeling a bit woe is me because I thought Salah would bang, and so I was expecting the captain difference that Salah brings.
Yeah, and be fingers crossed that you could catch up this game week.
So
yeah.
I'm in a strange way. I kind of feel like I'm sort of where I thought I'd be, except that the rest of my team is just awful,
and that everyone else has not done much better than 15.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like, well, surely, I mean, Kane's going to play, you know, at least he's going to get four, which is, you know, going to be all right in comparison to the rest of them. I feel like it's, I mean, I'm borderline hysterical about it, but we've got to go on the FPL show this week.
Well,
so
we
good
go.
Lord, Kane.
Yeah, we've got to go on Thursday,
we've got to go on the pod as well this week.
Oh, savage.
We've got 15 points.
Savage. It's getting to that point of the season where, you know, at the beginning of the season, game week one, and we said it, I think, game week one is that, don't look at your overall round.
Oh, God.
You don't need to look at it until game week 5 or 6, and then you'd have a bit more... Well, here we are, guys. We're in about to get
back
into game week 7.
Now.
And the overall rank, I'm going to not look at it for a few more weeks, to be honest with you. Absolutely savage.
Broke it last week.
Absolutely savage. So there we go. It has been, guys, frankly, a very, very challenging, a very difficult game week. But if you've got Kane captain to come...
Oh, come on, Harry, my
it
love.
It could still be all right.
Fix it.
Here's where you can find us, guys. Thank you for tuning in tonight. We're on all of the things that you can see here. So if you prefer to listen to the audio version of this live stream, we're on Spotify, SoundCloud, these, all of those things as well. As Sam mentioned, look out for us on the FPL show this Thursday. First one we've done in a while, so very pleased to be back on the show with Jules and with James. And you're on the podcast as well this week, as well as some other fantasy football scout stuff going on. So listen, lots to look forward to this week. Don't know how we're going to go on the FPL show and stand by our scores for this week. It's going to be quite difficult.
We won't mention them.
It's going to be quite difficult. But I'm still fingers crossed for Morpai, fingers crossed for Harry Kane your side. And you never know. It could still work out.
I mean, Bissouma's going to score a hat-trick.
Bissouma to score a hat-trick, guys. You heard it here first. I'm off to go and get Callum Wilson and Wilfried Zaha in my team. Until next time, guys, leave us a like before you go. Hit that subscribe button if you're new around here. If you got over 25, well done this game week. It's just been absolutely bonkers. It could all change tomorrow. It could, of course, all change tomorrow. But until this time next week, Sunday, 8:30, we will see you next time, guys. Cheers.
Bye, guys.